Good afternoon. You are listening to Beer Radio with Ginger Johnson. It is 5:01 and here she is.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Beer Radio. Thanks for chiming in. I'm curious to see how many listeners we have. We can always stream the show, and that's a great way to do it. We have the archives, of course, on the fabulous KSKQ.org site as well. Last week, we were live again. We're always, well, hopefully we'll mostly be live almost all the time. If we're not live, we're in trouble. But I'm Ginger Johnson, your host of Beer Radio, and we were in San Francisco last Wednesday, live on the street, quite literally, at the Craft Brewers Conference. The Craft Brewers Conference is one of the big industry deals during the year, especially for the craft beer community. Craft beer is defined by one body as 6 million barrels or less. And just for a benchmark, Sam Adams brand, Boston Beer Company, is the largest in our nation right now at right about 2 million barrels. So that gives you maybe a little visual. The other ones are well into the double and triple digits in the million barrelage per year. So here we are, Ginger Johnson back at Beer Radio on KSKQ.org. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous topic in beer. Pretty universal beverage, and we're going to keep talking about beer. So this week's topic, we're going to talk about the Craft Brewers Conference since we just had it last week. My fabulous counterpart, Kate, who helps me with Women Enjoying Beer, was here in the studio in Ashland, Oregon, and I was on the street outside of Johnny Foley's Irish Pub on O'Farrell Street in San Francisco. It was a lovely sunny day, yes, even though it's rainy in San Fran about this time of year. But it was a lot of fun. We ended up snagging a couple of impromptu, unsuspecting, and yet very willing guests. One was Tom McCormick, and Tom McCormick is a friend and colleague, and Tom helps head up the CSBA, the California Small Brewers Association, essentially a guild for a lot of the craft brewers in California. Tom is a peach. He's a great man and very much a beer enthusiast, and he was snaggable on the sidewalk and entertained us, and it was kind of funny. After the show was done and I saw him later in the conference, I was talking to him somewhere else, obviously, and he said, "Was that show for real?" I said, "Oh yeah, that's the real deal, baby." So that was kind of fun. He's game to be doing it in a more planned version in the future too, because Tom has a lot of great knowledge about beer. He started a distributorship many years ago, not knowing anything about beer distributing. So Tom was one of our impromptu grabs, and so that was a lot of fun. I forget who the other one is, so I'm going to have to go back and remember who that was. So here we are, Beer Radio. Thanks for tuning in every Wednesday from 5 to 6. Be sure and tell all your friends as well as your enemies, because everybody deserves a fresh beer. Coming at you from Ashland, Oregon, and wherever you might be. And just so you know, we are, of course, we don't drink in the studio. That's a no-no, although we could have water, I suppose, if we were really thirsty. But you can certainly grab a great beer from wherever you might be and enjoy one along with us. I left my album at home today, too, so I don't have any wonderful beer drinking songs for you, but we'll fix that next week. So let's talk a little bit about the Craft Brewers Conference. The Craft Brewers Conference has been happening for some time, and the Craft Brewers Conference is the big industry get-together for the craft brewing community. You don't have to just be a craft brewer or in a craft beer business to be part of the conference or attend the conference. Let me give you a few examples of some other people that attend this rather remarkable conference. The people that attend the Craft Brewers Conference are people that, of course, are currently brewing and are involved in their own breweries. They are also people in the distributor arena. We have what's called the three-tier system here in the United States of America as far as alcohol disbursement, and that is the producer or the importer, the retailer, and then the wholesaler or the distributor. So you've got those three tiers, and however you may feel about it. Some people feel great about it. Some people don't like it at all. Some people are somewhere in between. The gray area is usually the biggest. One thing that having the distributors do is they do help regulate somewhat on safety, and so that's always a good thing. But we'll talk about distributors and that kind of the three-tier system in a future show. It's pretty an interesting thing, and I'm guessing it's something we all take for granted, that if we want beer, we know where to get it as a consumer, not knowing completely the picture of how the beer gets from the ingredients in the brewery into the beer and then to your table. So we'll talk about that in the future. But you can be a distributor and come to the Craft Brewers Conference. You can be a retailer and come to the Craft Brewers Conference. You can be a brewery in planning or somebody who's thinking about getting into the brewing business. And wow, let me tell you what, this time there were hundreds of people there, I would safely say, that are interested in starting their own brewery. And that is obvious by the fact that there are 618 registered breweries in planning with the Brewers Association, who is the host of this event. So just by those sheer numbers alone, we know that there are lots of people, hundreds of people, that are looking at starting a brewery business. So that's another segment of the population from the conference. You can be an interested party in a lot of ways in order to attend, and it did sell out well before the conference again this year. And there was a record number, 3,900 attendees. Let me give you a little comparison here. 2 years ago, there were, 2,400 attendees. That was in Boston in 2009. Happens to be where yours truly presented What About the Other 50% Developing and Serving the Female Beer Consumer. The next year, 2010, was in Chicago, and there were 3,300 attendees, and there was a noticeable change in how many people were there. It was you could just feel it. It was an incredible jump. So it wasn't just a numbers game. It was you could tell there were a lot more people. And then this year we went to 3,900. So that was quite a difference and an increase. That can tell us a lot of things too. It can tell us that there's a lot more people interested in getting into this particular business. They have a strong passion for it. However, that passion has gotten them there. They see a business opportunity. You know, there's a lot of reasons people get into beer, and as varied as those reasons are, they are just as varied as the people that come to the brewing table. So it's a pretty amazing thing. Been going on for a long time, rotates all around the country. It's a great place to really learn a lot of things, to solidify a lot of your knowledge, to refresh yourself, to have, quite frankly, a spectacularly fun and exhausting time during a conference proper. It's funny, people, when I was talking to them about going to the Craft Brewers Conference, if there's somebody I haven't known very long or somebody I've just met or somebody that doesn't know that I am in the beer business or whatever it might be, they, oh yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And you know that they're right. The great thing about it is, yes, there is plenty of beer flowing. Heck, that's the industry. At the same time, these people are really responsible with their consumption. Even though they might get a glow on, they show up, they're there. I can't think of another group of people that I would rather hang out with and have a beer with than other peer people that are truly passionate about their craft and what they're doing. So it's a pretty remarkable thing. It happens every spring. The dates vary a little bit, and it rotates all across the country. Next year, it will be in San Diego, California again. It's been there a few times in the last, 10 years. Apparently, it's a popular choice, and the city must be very accommodating to what the organization is looking for. So, and there are lots and lots of breweries in San Diego. Not that that's a foregone conclusion or a necessity. In fact, San Diego has its own guild, I believe, because they have so many breweries, independent breweries down in San Diego. So I know I'm already excited about that because good friend and colleague Julie Wartell with PubQuest.com is in San Diego, and she has promised, per my asking, to teach me how to surf. Now, I don't think I'll go to the conference and learn how to surf on the same day. However, I know I get to see her and spend some time with her, along with checking out a lot of other great breweries and beers in San Diego. So let me tell you a little bit more about the Craft Brewers Conference. There's definitely a trade show that goes with it. It's not just a trade show, and it's not just a conference. And when I say just, I mean it's not happening as a singular event. They combine the two, and it works out rather deliciously, if I do say so myself. The nice thing about being a vendor at the Brew Expo America, as the trade show is named, is that the trade show people have time chunks which are exclusively trade show. So why is that a good thing? Well, it's good to have dedicated trade show time with no competing sessions or education. So those trade show people that have invested a lot of time and effort and resources in coming to be in front of their audience and to perpetuate their business have the dedicated attention and there's not a competing interest. And so I laud the organization for how they do that. The trade show is a ball too. It's where you, for sure, in walking around, see other people in the business and you catch up and so forth. It's equally interesting and fascinating and sometimes head-shakingly so to see all the products and services that are available in the great, quote, out there. Everything from maltsters and Brees and those kinds of people to retail products to suppliers to bottle vendors to, boy, it's just... It's really quite well attended, and it is really interesting to see. So I always make sure to cruise the whole show. It's nice to do that twice just because you don't see some things. And, in fact, I got home, and I thought, oh, nuts. I forgot to see this person or that person, and they were going to be at their booth. And so I was negligent, unfortunately, but hopefully forgivingly so because there were so many people. 3,900 people? Are you kidding me? How do you touch all those people and get in contact with those people that you know and then still get to know more people? It's I wish that I didn't need sleep during that time, quite frankly, because I could probably go for 24/7 with different people and talking about beer and so forth. But anyway, I digress. So we've got that trade show that it's called Brew Expo America with dozens and dozens of vendors there. And then you've got the sessions and the seminars, which happen in collaboration and in complement, harmony, whatever word you want to use, with the trade show. So the Piste de la Résistance is the kickoff, which is really amazing. It's the open reception. I think I'm using the word amazing too much tonight. The opening reception happens the night before the conference actually shakes down, and so that's usually a Wednesday. And so this time we all met at the California Academy of Sciences, and it was a really cool place to enjoy. In fact, it was so much fun. I got so tied up talking with people that I didn't really get to get around the Science Center very much, which was kind of a shame. All the same, it was a great reception. There are lots of different breweries that are there as the host. Well, not the host, but they're there providing beer, which is always a lot of fun. You get your conference tasting glass when you come in. It's a nice, sturdy half-pint glass that different people sponsor. And I don't have one in front of me, otherwise I'd share those sponsors, although I could probably dig up that information. But then you get your glass. You head inside. There's some different food stations. Food's okay. It's pretty good, I guess. There's just never enough of it. And if you're cruising around from about 7:30 to 10:30 at night and you're drinking beer, you should probably have more of it. So the California Academy of Sciences is a very neat place. Last year, I felt some echoing because last year in Chicago, the opening reception was at the Field Museum. Oh, that was incredible. And that was also incredible because it was another science venue, and we literally drank with the mastodons, big, huge, enormous skeletons in this beautiful marble building, and the acoustics weren't real great for absorbing sound, but that's not what they're designed for, I guess. So that was echoes of conferences past, and so it's 3.5-4 hours of just rock-solid fun, seeing people, touching base, trying great beer, and that opening reception really sets the tone. And you could tell right away there were a lot more people. They provide shuttle buses from the primary conference center, which was at the Hilton downtown on O'Farrell. It was a lovely place. The Hilton staff are quite friendly and accommodating and pretty good hosts. So last year it was at a Hilton also. So you are listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. We have We're streamable, and in fact, that's the best way to reach us. And in fact, if you are streaming it, we are extremely grateful if you pass it forward. Shoot somebody an email, tell them, hey, tune in, share this around. We're community-supported radio, so we always appreciate more listening ears, whatever you might be doing. Maybe you're prepping for dinner, maybe you've just gotten home, maybe you're going to go for a run, or maybe you're simply enjoying some scenery out a window or on a porch with a great beer. So we're going to pause for an announcement, and then we will be right back with Beer Radio.
St. Clair Productions is pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQLP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. St. Clair Productions is the Rogue Valley's source for live music, with an eclectic mix of folk music concerts at Ashland's Unitarian Center from September through May. Styles include blues, bluegrass, Americana, and music from around the world. For a complete listing of upcoming shows, go to www.stclairevents.com or call 541-535-3562. KSKQ thanks St. Clair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
All right, welcome back to Beer Radio. Here we are live on KSKQ.org, Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. Please make sure and send me any suggestions, ideas, or comments on the show. I'd like to thank Carson for listening in and giving feedback always. That's appreciated. And in case you don't know, it is local and community-supported radio, so support is always appreciated. You can check out everything, archives, the rest of the fantastic programming. Wolf was in here before from 4 to 5 every Wednesday. He's here with Swallow Your Soul, which is a great show of really interesting music to listen to, and lots of other programs. So we appreciate you tuning in, streaming. Archive access is yours 24 hours a day at the touch of your fingertips. So thanks for being here with us. We're talking about the Craft Brewers Conference here today on Beer Radio, and shared a little bit about the attendees and where we had the opening reception. So the opening reception happens on a Wednesday night, and then the conference kicks off into full gear on Thursday through Saturday. So it's a full 3.5 days of incredible information, absorption of ideas and wrapping your head around it, and great conversations of all sorts. You know, one thing I love about the beer community is the open-mindedness for the most part, and the intelligent and respectful banter and conversations. You don't have to agree with each other. You do need to get along, and everybody knows that, and people are great at sharing ideas, letting their voice be heard, hearing others, and then quite frankly and literally having a beer together after you've done that. So it's a pretty remarkable community. It's no wonder that so many people are getting into it. My goal, or one of my goals, is to get more women involved in it. I still find it appalling that there aren't nearly as many women as there are men. And we're not necessarily going to aim for 50-50 because that's unrealistic and it's just not the way the world works. And I'm an optimistic person for sure. And so I'm hopeful that more women will get into the beer community in whatever capacity. You don't have to brew beer to be in the beer community. You can participate in so many other ways, respectfully and accurately, and really to promote the beer and have a fantastic occupation and vocation and passion manifested. So I'd encourage everybody who's interested in the beer industry in whatever capacity, whether you're simply fascinated with where the heck beer comes from, to I think I want to sell beer, to I think I want to make beer, to I think I want to write about beer, to I think I want to have my own radio program about beer. Oh, that's a great idea. Thanks to KSKQ again. Anyway, if you're curious, you can get in touch with a lot of different people that would be more than happy to answer questions and share a beer and talk about it. I'm certainly one of those. You can reach me, Ginger Johnson, at womenenjoyingbeer.com. You can reach me. My email is ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. We're on Twitter at Women Enjoy Beer. And we're on Facebook also, Women Enjoying Beer. And you can go to a great number of sources. One of the best sources that I love that is just a watershed of information is craftbeer.com. That is hosted by the Brewers Association. There's another fabulous resource, brewersassociation.org. They are incredible. And you know, most Americans live within 10 miles of a brewery. Isn't that amazing? When you think about the population centers, that's probably why. And I think just about every single brewer would be happy to talk with you about what their experience is, how they got into brewing. They've probably answered that question 5 million times, and they're still always happy to share it again. I would always caveat to call people before you drop in. They're busy working professionals, and they definitely want to spend time with you. At the same time, their time is just as valuable as yours, and while they want to spend time, sometimes they're in the middle of something. So call ahead, find out who you can talk to. I remember my husband told me when he got into the beer business, he did a lot of what he called informational interviews. He would set up times with people to simply talk with them about how they got into what they were doing and the ups and downs and the reasonings and so forth. And that helped him decide what he wanted to do about it. And he, in fact, did get into professional brewing. And I'm guessing a whole six-pack or more of beer that even if he hadn't, it would have been really time well spent and a lot of fun because you meet some incredible people. So we're here talking about Beer Radio today, talking on Beer Radio today about the Craft Brewers Conference. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host with Beer Radio, and we're coming to you live from Southern Oregon every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. In the future, we're going to have more guests. We had a couple impromptu guests on the street last week when we were live in San Francisco. Kate was here in the studio, did a great job. Jason was a huge help. We'll be doing more of that. And so you can count on next week starting with some more guests and sharing more about their experiences and so forth. We're talking about the Craft Brewers Conference today. Just happened in San Francisco, California this past week. It was the 23rd through the 26th, chock full of seminars and education and fun and hospitality and everything that goes with it. The camaraderie, you know, is running extremely high at those things. It's like a family reunion, somebody likened it to. One of the speakers said, you know, I tell people I'm going to my family reunion, and he said some people will pursue that and ask more questions, and sometimes he'll just simply offer up that, you know, I just am so in love with this industry and get so much from being around these other people that are passionate in some of the same ways that it feels like what a great family reunion should feel like. And that's a pretty cool analogy. I like that. So there are a variety of tracks that the Craft Brewers Conference offers. And when I say tracks, I mean themes of topics, and they set those up. When you submit, it's an open call process, so anybody who thinks they have something of value for the craft brewing community should absolutely submit something and you know, get into the stream of information through the Brewers Association, and you'll get announcements. Better yet, the Brewers Association is a great organization to be a member of. Just like supporting KSKQ.org, you're supporting something that's local and is sustainable and really helps our nation and our world at large just be a good place to be. So we need a little bit more of that. The Brewers Association is the parent organization, and all kinds of submissions, I'm guessing, come in. I'd love to sit on the selection committee and find out how they pick what they pick and when they pick it. One of the reasons that I got into the beer business is that I actually submitted a presentation for the 2009 conference, and it was selected. It was what helped me launch Women Enjoying Beer, and it's been very pivotal and clearly has sent me in this trajectory. So the conference has a variety of tracks, the topic themes of what they present, and there's everything from startup track to brew pub track, development programs, export development, government affairs, selling craft beer, sales and marketing, technical, everything from yeast to malt to whatever it might be on the technical side for the brewers themselves. So there's an interesting variety of them. The ones that I'll just go through a couple of the ones that I attended and tell you why I chose them, because there's several in each time slot. So sometimes it's just a really, you got to flip a coin, because they're going to be good presentations. They're going to give you some terrific information, and you're going to learn a good amount of stuff. Stuff that's really technical. So one of them I attended was was given by one of the rock stars of the craft beer industry, Sam Calagione, and the head brewer at Flores de Lis of Dogfish Head. And Dogfish has an extremely wide variety of raving fans, if not cult-like followers. Sam is a great person. He and his wife, Mariah, she's an equally remarkable person. They started Dogfish Head a number of years ago. I have the good fortune to be getting to know both of them. I talked to Sam for a while at the closing reception. But they gave one on yeast, and Women Enjoying Beer, which is my business, is definitely about education, and so I wanted to tune into this one because, first of all, I like Sam. He's very entertaining and interesting to listen to, very intelligent. I hadn't heard Floris speak yet, and I know that Floris is very well regarded in the community. Floris is Belgian, I believe, and there are an enormous amount of fantastic breweries in Belgium. In fact, I'd like to put that on my short list of places to go next. So I didn't know anything about Floris yet, and I wanted to know more. And so they presented on yeast, and it was quite fascinating. One thing they've done is the Discovery Channel has a new series called Brewmasters, and Sam is in the mix. And so it was interesting. They went to Egypt to do some yeast research. I'll just simplify it because it was a technical talk somewhat. And so it was really fun to listen to Floris and Sam talk about their yeast pursuits and how the filming of this Brewmasters show on the Discovery Channel factored into some of that, and the local people they met and the flora and fauna. And of course, that's an enormous component to the yeast culture and health and so forth, wherever you're at. So that was an interesting one, definitely on the technical track, and that was well worthwhile. Let's see, another one was completely different in a different track about selling craft beer was a panel led by an industry consultant, and there were four people from different chains, as it were, meaning there was one person from a grocery store chain, there was one from a massive retailer chain. Unfortunately, there are no women on it, which I don't understand, but I'll work on keep changing that. And they talked about the relationship of the brewer all the way up to the chain store, because the chain store deals with the distributors. They don't deal directly with the breweries for the most part. And so it was an interesting talk. I'm not quite sure what all I took away, but I can tell you that I plan to reach out to a couple of those retailers because they clearly need some information on women and beer, and I am the person to help them. So it was interesting. It felt like there was a tiny bit of tension in the room, but maybe just because people still don't understand all the relationship ins and outs of how to sell their craft beer. Because brewers, while they are fantastic people, not all of them are knowledgeable in the distribution chain and the retail. And rightly so. That's not any way disparaging to brewers. They are brewers. They are excellent at that. And some brewers are excellent at a lot of things, but not always selling. And you're really passionate about something, and so you're passionate about getting your product in front of people. And there's a lot of questions to be answered. So that was an interesting panel to listen to. You were listening to Beer Radio here on KSKQ.org, 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. You can always reach me, and I love to get questions and inquiries and suggestions on what you want to hear about and learn about and responses and so forth. You can reach me at ginger@womenenjoybeer.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Women Enjoy Beer, and then on Facebook at Women Enjoying Beer. We've got apparently a handful of listeners today. We would love to have a lot more. We're streaming always live on kskq.org, and you can also access our archives. So like a great beer, KSKQ programming offers a really nice complement to your life. The beauty, quite frankly, of archives is that you can listen to them wherever and whenever it's convenient for you. So tune in, let us know you're listening, and know that we appreciate it. We're talking about the Craft Brewers Conference today. It's an annual conference in the industry that covers a huge variety and a large volume of information to help the craft brewing community do better business and to make sure their beer is healthy and tasty. And so when it reaches our glass, everything can just be taken for granted. So a couple more of the programs I went to at the Craft Brewers Conference in San Francisco this past week. One of my favorites, for a couple reasons, was a cleanliness talk. It was given by somebody that I know quite well, and it was put in the startup track. And I understand from this person that it wasn't necessarily meant only for startup breweries. At the same time, it did make sense to put it in the startup track, meaning the people that are interested in starting a brew pub or getting an operation underway. Let me tell you why. Cleanliness is one of the most important things to making sure you have a quality beer. Get rid of the word good when you describe beer because it's just way too subjective. Talk about other things of your beer and it will be a better choice. This cleanliness track was called Keeping It Clean, Quality and Cleanliness for the Brew Pub Operator. This person who gave it is, in fact, a brew pub brewer and in charge of all things in that brew pub. And so it happens to be a man. There are certainly some great female brew pub operators and brew pub brewers. And it was an interesting talk, and it was interesting because I am a big kitchen enthusiast. I love to cook, and I would never cook in a dirty kitchen. I don't mean messy or sloppy. I wouldn't probably do that for too long because it would drive me nuts, but cooking in an unclean environment is not going to give you your best food experience, and it's not going to give the food the best opportunity, the ingredients, to treat you well. And so why the heck would you brew in a dirty brewery? Now, the caveat here is definitely an and, not a but. Keeping a brew pub clean is a challenge. There's no doubt about it. You have to be really keenly aware of what's going on, and you have to stay on top of it. And sometimes, many times, there's probably a pretty good size chunk of brewers out there who are single brew operators, meaning they are the only ones and they do everything from unlocking the doors to cleaning the tanks to ordering the ingredients to pouring the beer, those kinds of things. So there are only so many hours in a day, which we all hopefully have figured out by now. And so keeping your operation clean is really tantamount to making the highest quality beer you can. Infected beer won't kill you, but certainly when you talk about ingesting anything that's infected, that doesn't sound real appealing. And so the great thing about keeping a clean brewery, whether it's a brew pub or a distributing brewery, is that you're going to get really high quality beer and you never have to use the word infected in any of your conversations. It's something that you have to be diligent. You have to stay on top of it. You have to be dedicated to it. And quite frankly, it surprises me. I've been in some what I call eat off the floor clean breweries. That's my standard. And those people understand it. I literally would drink beer from a puddle on the floor because I just know that it is so clean that I can do that. And I've been in an unfortunately appalling number of breweries, whether they are brew pubs or distributing breweries, that are dirty. Not just dirty, but filthy, and everything in between. Some are simply sloppy and messy, and a little more care needs to be put into it. Some are flat-out dirty. There's mold, there's rat turds, there's all kinds of stuff. So what amazes me about that is that these people are so passionate about beer, so there's a disconnect somewhere. And the great thing, one thing that I really took away from this cleanliness talk at the CBC was, you know, once you get on top of your cleaning and you stay dedicated to it, it's going to be more efficient because it's going to take you less time than it would if you let it slide. And it's going to make you feel better. Hopefully that pride of what you do comes out in a clean brewery. You know, hire some part-time help, recruit some people, pay them in beer, whatever it is, but stay on top of your cleaning. So I really enjoyed and I probably appreciated that one also. It was an interesting talk. The room was pretty full, and I'm guessing that some of those 600 and some startups, I'm guessing there was a pretty healthy number of those people in the room. So that was a good one, too. I'm Ginger Johnson. We're here at Beer Radio on KSKQ.org, 94.9 FM in Southern Oregon, and we are talking on Beer Radio today about the Craft Brewers Conference. I was there just last week. It was in San Francisco, California, And last week, the wonderful Kate with Women Enjoying Beer was here in the studio with Jason, and we did a live remote, which was a lot of fun. We're going to have some more guests in the future like we had last week, and we always want your feedback and comments and suggestions. You can reach me directly at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Women Enjoy Beer, and you can also like us on Facebook. And KSKQ has all the archives, and it's streamable. So chime in, tune in, turn on, pour a beer for yourself wherever you're listening, and stick around. A couple more programs that I went to at the CBC last week. This was really good. This was a different track. I haven't talked about this one yet, but sensory panel. When we talk about a sensory panel, that is all about making sure through the quality assurance and quality control that your beer is on top of its game. It's something that's really important to your final product and therefore obviously important to your enthusiasts and your clients. And the sensory panel was really an interesting thing. I went for a couple reasons. One, I was thrilled to see that it was all women. And just a side note here, I'm all about both genders, all genders. The enthusiasm was that there's rarely an all-female, or there's not nearly as many female presenters as there are males. So that's, to me, that indicates some nice progress. Interestingly enough, a lot of people in the sensory side of beer are women. And there's a strong argument swirling and has been swirling for some time that women may be /are better perceptors of flavor and sensory experiences. So a lot of people on tasting panels are women because of their sensitivity and their perception levels, which is fascinating to me. And so the sensory panel was made up of all women. It was made up of Gwen Conley. And Gwen is formerly of Flying Dog. I believe she's moving to Lost Abbey. And Gwen and I have emailed back and forth, and so it was fun to finally meet her. I saw them all sitting at a table with their heads together, making sure their last-minute details were covered before they presented. And so I finally shook Gwen's hand, and she was fun to meet. The other person on the panel of the four was Kathy Haddock, and Kathy is with Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. And Sierra Nevada is one of my eat-off-the-floor-clean breweries. They are incredibly in tune to cleanliness, sanitation, and the environment. They have a what Terrence Sullivan, one of their fabulous employees, calls their own solar system. And they've got an enormous solar field on top of their buildings, which I believe supplies some 92% roughly of their own electricity. So wow, huge hats off to them. So Kathy Haddock was another one on the sensory panel talking about quality. And she's been with Sierra Nevada for a while, and so she had some great contributions. Next person on the panel, person who actually opened the panel, was Whitney Thompson. And Whitney is another fantastic person in the industry. She's a real kick in the pants. I met her 2 years ago in Boston. And Whitney is in quality control at Victory Brewing in Pennsylvania. And she's a lot of fun to listen to, very well-spoken, clearly passionate about what she does. The last person on that panel who was also fun to meet, who I hadn't met yet, was Lauren Salazar. And Lauren is with New Belgian Brewing, one of the larger craft brewers in the country. And a lot of people have heard about New Belgian. They do some really remarkable things, including Follow Your Folly. If you've got a dream and you need help chasing it, you can go to the Follow Your Folly, and it's really quite remarkable. Kim Jordan was one of the founders of that company, and she is the operator of that incredible culture. And so Lauren is from New Belgian. The interesting thing is all these breweries are large enough to sustain and to employ, both literally and figuratively, a sensory panel. And that's something not everybody has the ability to do on a large scale. At the same time, everybody down to the single operator can do something with your quality control and quality assurance. I really appreciated this panel because, once again, with the education direction that Women Enjoying Beer has, it was very informative. It told me a lot more. Okay, so what is a sensory panel? Why should you have one? What do they do? What is the value? And so forth and so on. So this incredible panel made up of these four amazing women was really interesting. So we're going to pause for another sponsor message, and we will be right back with Beer Radio.
Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice proudly supports KSKQLP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice brings together labor unions, religious congregations, student groups, and community organizations to improve working people's standard of living, job security, and their right to organize. Visit their website at www.sojwj.org. KSKQ thanks Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
All right, welcome back to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host, coming to you live every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. And you can stream it, and you can check the archives and share it with a friend. In fact, do a friend a favor, just send them the link and say, hey, listen to this. I enjoy the show, and I thought you might also. Send me your questions and comments and suggestions at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com anytime, and I will always cover them the following show. And along those lines, just so you know, Women Enjoying Beer does a lot of different events and so forth, and we're always looking for more people who enjoy beer. I shouldn't say, yeah, we're looking for people that enjoy beer, and it's mostly women's events. We do some mixed events, which is a lot of fun also, and you can check those out at womenenjoyingbeer.com/events. We've got one coming up at Four Daughters in Medford in April, and American Craft Beer Week is right around the corner in another little while, and you can check that out. There'll be events all over the nation. It's a congressionally recognized beer celebration across the nation. That's AmericanCraftBeer.com. I think actually the home site for that is CraftBeer.com now, so it might have switched. So we're talking about the Craft Brewers Conference and how it just happened in San Francisco. It is an enormous industry event for the craft brewers and surrounding suppliers, vendors, writers, planners, distributors, retailers, all those kinds of people that are involved in the beer community. So it was a blast. And yes, I did get to try some amazing beers as well and have some steady ones that I've had before too. It was always fun. So we're talking about a few of the sessions I was able to attend because they're just loaded full of tracks and different topics that you can go to and enjoy. So it's sometimes a real challenge to decide which one you want to go to because, quite frankly, there's always a double up, if not a triple up. Another one of the programs I went to was, let's see, which one do we want to talk about next? Here was an interesting one. I'm looking at the program, so you can maybe picture that in front of you. One was on the last day in the morning, a very interesting one and a totally unique one was given by Maureen Ogle, Renee DeLuca, and Jack McAuliffe. It was called The Long View of the Big Picture. This is a remarkable one because Jack McAuliffe was one of the pivotal founders of what the modern craft beer movement has become. Jack started New Albion Brewing way back, I think, in the late 60s, early 70s, and he created a new model, in essence. He did it out of necessity, but he incidentally created a new model for how craft brewers could brew. Fritz Maytag was already on the scene with Anchor Brewing, and he had a beautiful, full-size, if you will, brewing system that he was brewing on in the San Francisco Bay Area. And that was certainly one model. The kicker, though, is that a lot of people that wanted to get into this didn't have the funds or didn't know what the model was. And so Jack, being an extremely handy, talented, mechanically inclined person, created a brewery from all kinds of different parts and pieces, quite literally. I think he used some equipment from a goat farm, from their milk containers, and just all kinds of different stuff. And the reason he was so pivotal is that once he had his brewery up, other people saw what it could be in comparison to having a full, wave the magic wand, full-on, beautiful, copper kettle-looking brewery. Ken Grossman was one of the people early on that came to see Jack's operation and realized that, you know what, I can do this, and I can do this on a small scale, and I can put parts and pieces together. And Ken Grossman, as some of you may know, is the founder of Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. So obviously that was a successful venture for him. He maybe would not have been able to do it or might not have had the same amount of success had he not been able to see Jack's model. So Jack does not attend a crowded events, hardly ever, apparently. He is a pretty private person. And so the fact that he was there at this massive conference was pretty darn remarkable. He was interesting to listen to. And you got the historical perspective. And that was brought by Maureen Ogle, who was one of the other three people giving this session. And Maureen wrote one of my favorite beer books, Ambitious Brew, The Story of American Beer. And Maureen became a friend extremely serendipitously, probably about 5 years ago now. And I love Maureen, and I love her book. I can hear her voice when I read it. And Jack is in that book because her book, Ambitious Brew, covers the story of American beer starting in about the late 1880s when things really started to move and shake, and the temperance movement, the anti-saloon movement really got some juice going, and prohibition happened and so forth and so on. So Maureen gave a historical perspective of, if you think this is where we're going again based on some other past historical trends and patterns, you might want to rethink that. And she talked about thoughtful growth versus mindless growth, and I really appreciated that. You can't just jump in and do something only for one reason. Well, I mean, you can, but really, if you're going to survive, you need to have a much broader, larger view, bigger think, those kinds of things. So she brought a historian's perspective because she is a historian. She has written a few books, and they're all books that I've enjoyed, regardless of my bias. I think they're pretty well written. And since she is a historian, she's very aware of accuracy and getting things right. So she helped facilitate the panel. And the third person, Renee DeLuca. I caught up with Renee initially on Twitter probably a couple months ago, and I think it was because of something that Maureen was talking about on Twitter. And Renee happens to be Jack's daughter, biological daughter. She was not raised by him, but she got to know him, and they are in regular contact and so forth. And Renee helped Maureen reach Jack, and so Renee was an interesting person to listen to as well. She is extremely savvy with social media. And so the swirl of Maureen and Jack and Renee and how they already all knew each other and what they could lend the current scene from a historical perspective based on Jack's experience umpteen years ago, based on what Renee sees and how you can affect change based on some of that and what some tools are. And then Maureen's perspective about, here's the historical long view. Here's where we came from and what does that mean and how can you interpret that? So that was a really interesting one. He got a standing ovation because he rarely shows up, like I said, just because he's a pretty private person and crowds aren't his thing. And it was fun to see that. So that was another good one. We're here on Beer Radio talking about some craft brewers conference sessions that I just attended in San Francisco. It's the kind of the state of the moment of beer, and it's an annual conference, and I don't miss it. It's remarkable. It's fun. It's mind-filling. It's exhausting, and it'll be in San Diego next year. So we have time for maybe one or two more today on Beer Radio. Let's see. What was another one that you might enjoy? Well, there were a lot of different ones. Okay, let's talk about this one. There was one that was called Beyond Hops and Malt, and it was talking about passion and creativity in the brewing process. This is a pretty big panel. There were six people. One, two, three, four, five. Five presenters and one moderator, and they were all brewers, and they all spoke about a different creative facet and thing to think about with your beer. And let me give you a couple examples. One was one of my favorites, Stephen Powell's of Boulevard Brewing in Kansas City, Missouri. And Stephen is, I believe he's Belgian as well, and he came across the pond to work with Boulevard. Stephen is an extremely gracious, well-informed gentleman, and I'm just thrilled to be able to know him. And in fact, I asked him if he'd be on Beer Radio in the future, and he's definitely on board. He talked about sugars and different sugars that are used in beer. And yes, different sugars are used in beer because the yeast ferments out the sugars. That's where we get the byproducts of alcohol and CO2. So talked about a few different sugars, and then he also talked about barrels in the brewing process. Barrel-aged beers are ragingly popular right now, and they're probably just going to keep climbing for a while. And he talked about those two things, and I left with more questions than I thought that I'd have in my head. And so I tagged up with him and asked him if he'd come talk to us. So he's going to come talk to us in the future. But he talked about those things. Another one of the brewers on that panel talked about fruit in beer and some things to think about. And, you know, is it dried? Is it fresh? Is it freeze-dried? Is it, you know, what's the state of the fruit? What kinds of fruits do you want to use? And what do you want to look for? And so forth and so on. So that was pretty interesting. I like talking about fruit because it turns some people off. And the fact that it generates a strong reaction, to me, is worth talking about. I think that's a good thing. So they talked about a variety of different things, these five talented brewers, and that was interesting to listen to. The last one I think I have time to cover, I'll cover one more session, maybe I can cram two more in. One was given by Julia Hertz, Nick Lake, and Heather Caulfield. And Julia Hertz, I think she is absolutely amazingly remarkable. She works for the Brewers Association. I value her. I respect her. I like her. And she is the program director for the Brewers Association. So she helps guide where the programs are going and what they're going to be and so forth. And she was on this panel with Nick Lake, who is with Nielsen, the ratings company. And I had heard about Nick for some time, and I hadn't met him yet, and she was good enough to introduce me. And Nick right off the bat said, you know, we probably need to talk about a few things, because I was feeling the same thing, and I know that Nielsen could definitely benefit from the research that Women Enjoying Beer does for their different clientele. The third person in that mix was Heather Caulfield, and she's with a PR firm out of, I think, New York City. And she was interesting, too, because she shared a few things to think about when you're pursuing the media and looking for the attention and how to go about it properly and so forth. So that was worthwhile. The last program that I attended, quite literally, because it was in the last time slot on the last day, and it was of particular interest to me because it's another person who is in the consulting arena for the beer industry, and he's given talks before, and I've attended them before at the craft brewers conferences, and this was the third year I've actually seen him, and this is the first year that I felt really good about the information he gave. And what I mean by that is Women Enjoying Beer, my business, does research and is the industry leader for getting women into beer and women's relationship with beer. And I don't mean drinking beer. I mean just finding what the involvement is and so forth. And Michael was with a large beer company for many years and very in tune to the research side of things. But I just never... I saw holes in the previous presentations, and it bothered me because it seemed inaccurate, and inaccurate information is dangerous information. So he talked about the baby boomer market and the potential of them, and I completely had both fists up in the air saying a big yes, because it's an enormous opportunity for the brewing community to tap into, and still so many people aren't doing anything about it or don't seem to be doing anything about it. So That was a good session, and I enjoyed that information. I plan to download his presentation. If you're a member of the Brewers Association and you attended the conference, you can get all these as part of your membership. So that's a great thing. So huge, broad range of topics and sessions and information that was given at the Craft Brewers Conference. Next year it'll be in San Diego, California. I don't know the dates yet, but if you're interested, you can always tune into one of my favorite resources, which is thebrewersassociation.org. Another great resource that I cited today was thecraftbeer.com. They're loaded with fabulous stuff, including the information about American Craft Beer Week, which is coming up in May, which is a don't miss it. There's events going to happen all over the country. Women Enjoying Beer already has a couple events lined up, including one that's called Herstory, a talk about women in brewing. And then another one, we're going to be showing an exclusive showing of Beer Wars, a beer documentary. We're very excited about that. You can check out all our events at womenenjoyingbeer.com/events. I am Ginger Johnson, your host of Beer Radio. So glad you were here with us today. Please join us again. We are streamable, we are archived, and we really want your help spreading the message. We're here on KSKQ LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. And cheers to beer. We will talk to you next week.